You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 493 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, on the aftermath of another lopsided loss for the Atlanta Hawks. It is very late into the night here on Sunday. I was not able to watch this game live due to some previous commitments, so I got to catch up a little bit later. And here we are to talk about what transpired in a 144, yes, 144 to 127 loss at the hands of the Brooklyn Nets up in New York. A very interesting game on a number of levels, I will say, just because of the fact that there were some records broken, records matched, records nearly broken, some good stuff on the Hawks side offensively, to be sure, but mostly defensive issues, and that was kind of culminated, I guess, in the fact that Lloyd Pierce led his post-game press conference unprompted by saying the following. He said, and I quote, "Tough night for our defense, bottom line," end quote. So I think he was pretty aware of that. Obviously, it's not really difficult to see. I will say this was a pretty fast-paced game, so it wasn't like 144 was absolutely insane, but it was insane. Let's be serious. Brooklyn's scoring was out of control in this game for the most part. We'll talk about a lot of different numbers over the course of this podcast, but it was the second highest scoring game in the history of the Nets franchise, and Brooklyn's been around for a long time. They were previously the New Jersey Nets, obviously, and the New York Nets before that, but Before this game, and still at this point in time, Brooklyn's the Nets' all-time record for scoring was 147. So they didn't quite get to that. In fact, though, I will say they probably would have gotten to 147 if they had kept trying, sort of pedal to the metal all the way to the end here. Brooklyn scored 30 plus points in all four quarters. Something you don't see every day, and obviously the final score speaks for itself. So we'll start at the beginning of this game as we always do on the podcast. I will say the first quarter was probably the bottom of the barrel here for Atlanta, and as a result of that, that sort of set the stage. That's not a new thing by any means. In fact, coming into this game, the Hawks had a minus 20.1 net rating in terms of, and that's they're being outscored by 20.1 points per 100 possessions. That is absolutely ghastly. In the first quarter, that's the first quarter net rating for the Hawks this season. That was the worst in the NBA by a lot. And now after this game, in which the Hawks were outscored by a 42-23 margin, they're now sitting at a minus 21.9 per 100 possessions net rating in the first quarter of games. That's the worst in the league by nearly 7 points per 100 possessions, which is absolutely a massive gap. So it's not just anecdotal at this point in time. The Hawks have been dreadful in the first quarter all season long, and this is a new pinnacle of how bad they could be in the first quarter here. So Brooklyn opened the game with a 24-8 run. Lloyd Pierce called two timeouts in an 80-second span as they were trying to get anything to go their way defensively. There was actually a pretty early substitution that garnered some questioning after the game when Trae Young was actually pulled a little bit early for Jeremy Lin. Nothing terribly interesting on that end for me. You know, Pierce was asked about that after the game on the post game that I was able to catch on Fox Sports Southeast, and he basically mentioned that this is something he's been doing for a while now, and I would tend to agree there, honestly. It isn't always young, and he mentioned that, of course, but it's been the last few games when they have nothing going in the first quarter. He's been trying different stuff with the lineups. This game, it was going to Lin a little bit early, but, you know, nothing really to focus on there other than the fact that when Lin came into the game, he got a huge ovation, and rightly so, from the Brooklyn faithful. Lin had been in Brooklyn the last 2 years before this one. He battled injury, of course, for most of that time. But, you know, good to see him get a nice warm reaction in his return back to Brooklyn, where he had spent some time. And actually, pregame, he said in print, I believe, and then pregame stuff that was tweeted out on Twitter from Mike Scotto, that he was emotional to be back in Brooklyn. No big surprise there after what he went through. A lot of injury rehab, a lot of stuff. I'm sure it was very frustrating for him. He talked about that a lot in the preseason, even in the training camp, and even during the regular season. But good to see Lin getting back on the floor in Brooklyn. And we'll talk about more of the way he played later. That was a cool moment when he checked in the game early on. Aside from that, though, nothing else that was really positive in the first quarter other than a Vince Carter had a nice dunk along the way, but the Hawks were trailing by as many as 21 points in the first quarter. It was the sixth time this season that they've allowed at least 40 in the first quarter. That's insane. A 29-game sample in which you allow 40 points or more six different times in the first quarter alone. That is jarringly bad. From Atlanta, they were carved up a lot by D'Angelo Russell, who had 10 points in the first quarter. Also, Joe Harris had 9 points and 4 assists in the first quarter, and a 167 defensive rating for the Hawks. And unlike previous times when the Hawks have been really bad in first quarters, it was not the turnovers in this game. Turnovers have been an issue all season long. But for the entire game, the Hawks were actually pretty reasonable in the way they did not turn the ball over a ton here. They only had 14 turnovers, but the rest of the game, the rest of the stuff did not sort of go well. But it wasn't the turnovers sort of fueling that for Brooklyn. It was just bad defense. Brooklyn shot 64% from the floor. 64% from the floor and 54% from three. That is really bad, obviously, on a number of levels. So that goes to speak for that. There was one rotational note I wanted to point out there. That was Daniel Hamilton playing minutes both in the first quarter and the third quarter. Hamilton played a lot of rotation minutes this game. In fact, he was the player who was really the ninth man for Atlanta. That was a big surprise. It was really his first rotation look of the season in terms of just full-fledged, no blowouts kind of stuff. Obviously, this game became a blowout later on, but that wasn't when Hamilton came in the game. He was the second one off the bench behind Bembry. I thought that was at least worth noting. And he was ahead of both Tyler Dorsey and Justin Anderson, who came in this game in garbage time only. So Hamilton, we'll talk about the way he played a little later on. That was one thing to note from that first quarter. But, big picture, it was as bad as you can imagine it being in the first quarter, and that sort of set the stage for the rest of the night. Rest of the afternoon, I should say, in this game. The Hawks did have a nice second quarter. That was the one bright spot in this game, was the second quarter where they outscored the Nets 43-30. That started off pretty much immediately when they had an 11-2 run. That was actually an 11-0 run after Brooklyn scored in their first possession of the second quarter. There was a trio of threes from Trae Young, Daniel Hamilton, and Dwayne Dedmon to get back within 10, and they got back within single digits later on with a Kent Bazemore three and a 19-7 run actually later on in the quarter to get back within 2. The Hawks were within 2 after being down 21 in the first quarter, but from there, Brooklyn sort of reasserted control down the stretch there. But Dwayne Dedmon had a nice quarter. Had a nice first half and really a nice game. We'll talk about him more later, but Dedmon at 15-7 in the first half, which was definitely noteworthy to be sure. After the way he's been playing offensively this season, it was nice to have him offensively in a big way. Also, Kent Bazemore, a couple of nice moments there in the second quarter, a couple of threes that he hit, but he had 15 points, three rebounds, two assists, and two steals in the first half, made a couple of threes, a nice chase down block on Damari Carroll, old friend of his, but that actually kind of hilariously bounced off the rim and then went in the basket. It was kind of a perfect reaction of what was the entire game with the way that Bazemore had that play. Also, John Collins had a nice first half as well. But the second quarter was the bright spot, as I mentioned before. The Hawks shot 61% from the floor in the second quarter. It had 7 of 11 from 3. 7 threes in the second quarter. They only had 14 the entire night. So 7 the rest of the game, 7 the second quarter. That was huge for the Hawks to get back in this game. Brooklyn actually was held to 39% shooting in the second quarter, and they were 0 of 8 from 3. They did play fast, though, so they were able to get to 30 points, but it was all Hawks in the second quarter. So if you were looking for more positives, that is definitely something to take away. But still at the half, the Hawks had a 144 defensive rating. That's really bad. And offensive rebounding was an issue. They allowed 8 offensive rebounds in the first half to Brooklyn. Only 2 after that, but Lloyd Pierce talked about that, and that was not really helping things, sort of giving them extra possessions when they already couldn't get stops. Not being able to close possessions was really hurtful for Atlanta. Offensively, though, actually, Hawks played very well in the first half, only 4 turnovers and 52% shooting overall in a half, but they were still down because of the fact that they just couldn't get stops over and over again. Second half, though, was all Brooklyn again, especially in the third quarter, I thought was pretty indicative, kind of the up-and-down game that the Hawks have been playing all season long. First and third quarters have been really ugly. I have more numbers on that in a second, but in this game, Brooklyn scored the first 5 points of the third, go up by 11. It sort of hovered around that 11 to 14 range for most of the third quarter. John Collins, though, had a really nice third quarter, had actually scored 10 of the first 12 points for Atlanta in the third. Had 22 points with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. He kind of cooled off after that, but it was a nice stretch from John. Another tour of duty from Daniel Hamilton, as I mentioned before. The Nets got to 100 points with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. That's pretty crazy to see. The Hawks did get back within 10 later on in the third, but that was in a hurry. Got back to 17 on a Jared Dudley 3 before it settled in at 15 at the end of the third quarter. Atlanta actually shot the ball well again in the third quarter, 52%, but the Nets shot 67% in the third quarter. And that's not how you get back in the game when you are trailing already. The Nets set a franchise record, for the most points in the first three quarters of a game. They had 111 at the end of the third quarter and a 148 offensive rating at that point in time. So I mentioned a little bit earlier that I had more numbers to talk about here. I mentioned before the Hawks had the worst record, the worst net rating in the league in the first quarter. They also have the worst net rating in the league in the third quarter, which isn't getting as many headlines, to be sure, and it hasn't been quite as bad in the third quarter. But for the entire season so far, the Hawks have been outscored by 16.8 points per 100 possessions, so a minus 16.8 net rating in the third quarter. That is the worst in the league by more than 3 points. The Bulls are second worst at 13.6. So again, the Hawks have been really struggling with that first and third quarter. It's not a huge surprise to anyone that's a diehard fan that's been paying a lot of attention. But still, it's kind of goes without saying that you just can't win games that way, and the Hawks are learning that the hard way here. In the fourth, there was brief hope. They got to 11, actually. The margin was 11 early on in the period, but the Nets got back to 20 in a hurry with about 9 minutes to go. That's basically it. Later on, a dagger from Jared Dudley to get back to 23, and that was sort of the end of that. John Collins didn't quite get his career high, but he flirted with it a lot. He actually came back in the game. I was a little bit surprised. The Hawks were playing four starters within the last, like, 3.5 minutes of the game before they cleared the bench. That was a little bit surprising to me. And then we saw some garbage time work, and I thought the Hawks actually did a really good job in garbage time to only lose by 17. They were probably 25 points worse in this game. This game was 23-25, somewhere in that range, with 2 minutes to go, and the Hawks sort of dominated down at the end when no one was really trying. So just keep that in mind. We're talking about garbage time minutes and the way that cleaning the glass determines net rating and stuff like that. The pure net rating in this game wouldn't be as bad as it would have been in the pure, I guess in the pre-garbage time minutes, because the Hawks kind of dominated when it didn't matter at all in the fourth quarter. So I mentioned before, almost a franchise record for the Nets with 144 here. A couple of bright spots were John Collins, Dwight Dedman, and Vince Carter actually had a nice 3-point shooting game. Carter had, I guess, only one three, but tied Paul Pierce for seventh all time in threes. So good on him. Vince, we'll talk about later on. But a couple of other things that Lloyd Pierce mentioned before we get to the individual stuff here is that he referenced individual defense and how much of a problem that has been. It's not just team concept stuff. Individuals have to play better, and there's a few guys on this team. Obviously, there's going to be weaknesses for most of the season and probably beyond that, but that's something. And also his overall physicality, something he mentioned after the game in his televised interview. Also said just that Trae Young had a nice floor game. We'll talk about him more on later on. And one more thing on the quarter stuff. I mentioned before the first and third quarters have been disastrous. Put that in perspective. The Hawks are 6-23 on the season. They've actually outscored opponents by 2.2 points per 100 possessions in the second quarter. So they have a positive net rating. They have outscored opponents in the second quarter, and they've come very close in the fourth. They only have a minus 1.7 net rating in the fourth quarter. That's like a 38 win team or so in the fourth quarter. So it's been pretty much all first and third quarters. Everything else has been basically like a 500 record for the Hawks. So take that for what you will at this point in time, but pretty crazy to see that dichotomy with this team. Overall, though, before we get to the individual stuff, just some ugly offensive numbers. Defensive numbers. Offense is actually pretty good in this game, but they allowed a 70% true shooting to the Nets. Brooklyn finished the game with 56% from the floor, 40% from three, and 91% from the free throw line. Obviously, the line you can't really control, but they still got to the line 33 times, which is bad defense as well, to go along with the 144. The Nets had 8 guys in double figures. They also had 9 guys with 8 points or more. D'Angelo Russell had probably, maybe not the best game of his career, but definitely close to it. 32 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds for D'Angelo Russell, who's not been great in his career so far, but 32 points in 29 minutes. Pretty jarring to see that. Joe Harris had a nice game. Even DeMar Carroll had a nice game off the bench. Special Dinwiddie is their best player, probably, had a nice game as well. So, yeah, just some rough stuff there. Offensively, though, big picture, the Hawks played well offensively this game. It's kind of unfortunate that it's going to be overshadowed by a lot of the things that went on, but 127 in terms of scoring, 55% from the floor, 48% from three, 38 assists for the Hawks in this game. 38 assists is a pretty crazy number. It's really what you want to see. And on a regular night when they were getting any kind of defensive resistance, they probably wouldn't going away here, but the defense was so bad, it just didn't matter, and that is the end of that, as we'll sort of leave it there for now before we get to the individual stuff. So quickly, I want to tell you guys to subscribe to the podcast, as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network. I really appreciate that. I'm trying to get the word out that there's a lot of different ways you can subscribe to the pod, different platforms: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, Overcast, all those spots. If you have a question or a favorite podcast platform that does not have us, please let me know that at BT Rowland on Twitter or at Locked On Hawks on Twitter. But please subscribe. Please tell your friends. That'd be huge as we get into this giving spirit that goes along with the holidays. Tell people about the podcast. Share the wealth a little bit, and I really, really appreciate that. So after this quick break, we'll come back, talk about the individual stuff from this game. All right, and we're back to talk about the bench first in this contest. I mentioned before Vince Carter had a record tying. I guess he's number 7 all time in threes, tied with Paul Pierce. That was really his biggest contribution in this game, was his 1-3. There wasn't really much going on there defensively for Vince. He was really struggling defensively. That's the spot where that's not a huge surprise. There are games when Vince can be hidden defensively. This was not one of them. He really struggled there. Had 7 points and 3 assists in his 19 minutes, but there are times when he just can't play out, when he really can't just be out there defensively. This is one of those games. It wasn't all him by any stretch. You'll hear me talk about that as we get going here, but Vince, there are games where it's just kind of very obvious what he can and can't do defensively. This is one of those games, to be sure. Elsewhere on the bench, DeAndre Bembry, 23 minutes, 8 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 rebounds, and a block shot and a turnover in 23 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. I thought Bembry really struggled again in this game offensively. He was probably the only guy on the entire roster that played better defensively than offensively in this game. Bembry was effective defensively. Offensively was kind of a mess. His numbers don't look as bad as they probably could have. You know, 4 of 10 from the floor isn't ghastly by any means, but there were some ugly moments from him just kind of clogging the offensive up a little bit. I still like Bembry's game in a vacuum, but offensively there are nights when he really just doesn't have it. And that makes it tough to play him as much as the Hawks probably need to play him because of his defense. He's one of the few guys on this team right now that's actually a good defender, full stop. But yeah, offensively, it was kind of a struggle for Bembry in this game. Jeremy Lin, 13 minutes only from him. Pierce was actually asked about that after the game. They were going to bring Lin back, I think, more in the second half. But then the Hawks actually, and this is the second quarter, I should say, the Hawks made their one big run. He wasn't on the floor, and Pierce referenced that as he kind of wanted to let the guys that were playing well go a little bit in the second quarter, and then in garbage time, there's no real reason to play Jeremy Lin as a veteran in garbage time, so I think that sort of contributes to the way his minutes were kind of down in this game. He didn't play terribly by any means. He was minus 16. I'm not sure that was him by really at all. I thought Lin was kind of just fine in this game. 6 points and an assist in 13 minutes, 2 of 5 from the floor. Did miss all 3 of his threes and was 2 of 4 from the free throw line. You don't really see him miss both free throws very often, which he did in his second trip to the line, but I thought Lin was fine. He's probably a little bit nervous in his return, I would imagine, but he wasn't as bad as the plus-minus indicated. And I think in a closer game, he would have played more in the second half, I'm sure. So nothing really to see there in terms of big takeaways from Lin's performance in this spot. The other guys who played real minutes in the rotation here were Daniel Hamilton, 14 minutes, 3 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a steal, and a turnover in 14 minutes again. 1 of 2 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, so only 2 shot attempts. I thought Hamilton was okay here. I will say he was pretty anonymous in the fact that offensively there wasn't much going through him. I don't think he played badly offensively, just didn't have too much going on. There was a pretty, anonymous game, pretty quiet game from him offensively. I thought defensively he actually played with pretty good effort. I think if you watch him in the G League, I'm sure not a lot of people have done that. I watched a few games while he was in Erie this year. The effort was not great down there defensively, but I think he definitely played better in the NBA setting. He was out there sort of mirroring Spencer Dinwiddie sometimes when the Hawks went with him in the rotation. So good to see Hamilton at least not kill the Hawks at all when he was playing there. I was surprised to see him playing more than Dorsey and Anderson in this game, but you know, he returned some value, and a nice night from him overall, in a sense that I was surprised he was even playing. So good on him to contribute a little bit in the time that he did play. Alex Len was the last guy who played real rotation minutes. Only 8 minutes though, only had the one stint in the first half and didn't play much after that. Four points, an assist, and a block. Didn't have a rebound in this game. Again, there are certain matches where Len just can't play, and this is one of those games. Jared Allen was in foul trouble for Brooklyn, and he's really their only, like, pure center that plays. They do have Ed Davis that's played some center, but they go to a lot of small ball, at least small-ish ball looks, and that's not a good spot for Len to be out there. So I think we've seen this over and over again now where Pierce is not afraid to bench Len when there's matches that don't go his way. This is one of those games where that was definitely the case, so nothing huge to take away from him in a negative sense at all. The other three guys that played down the stretch were Adams, Dorsey, and Anderson. Adams and Anderson combined to go 3 for 3 from 3, which is nice. Those guys were plus 8, as I was talking about earlier, with the garbage time heroics from the Hawks here. They were all plus 8 in those 3 minutes. But nothing to talk about much other than just the shooting. Obviously, Anderson had 6 points and 2 assists in 3 minutes, which is about as good as you could possibly ask for. I do think Anderson should play more. I'm a broken record with that, I'm sure, but I think Anderson is better than Dorsey. I think Anderson is better than Hamilton. And there are moments in matchups when he's probably better than Bembry as well. I'm not really sure why they're not playing Anderson more. That's just something that I'll keep saying. But I thought he looked good here. Maybe he'll get some more time as a result of that, but it's garbage time. I don't want to make too much of that, but just something to note moving forward. To the starters in this game, much more productive, obviously, as a unit, but Kevin Huerter had a little bit of a rough night after a couple of well-deserved, praiseworthy games from Huerter. He was awesome the last 2 nights. It was not so good in this game. It wasn't like he was terrible either. He had 4 points, Two assists, a rebound, and a turnover in 28 minutes. He was 2-4 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3. Definitely a trip back to him being kind of anonymous, kind of invisible offensively a lot of the game. Wasn't very assertive. Defensively, had some rough moments from him. I thought he's actually been playing very well defensively on the whole this season. This game was not one of his best. I'm sure he would admit to that afterwards. I was not in Brooklyn, so I couldn't really ask him about that. But I think Herter, a slight step back there. Nothing to worry about, though. He's a rookie. Ups and downs are going to happen. He was really, really good the last two games before this, so he was probably due for one of these a little bit slower games, and he got that one here. So nothing to worry about, but I thought Herter was obviously not quite as good in this game as he has been in the recent past. Trae Young, 13 points and 10 assists in this game. He had 3 turnovers and a steal and 2 rebounds in 29 minutes. He was 4 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. That is just fine. 40% from the floor is not exciting, but when you combine it with 50%, only 2 attempts, but still from 3 and 4 of 4 from the line, that's perfectly efficient. That's just fine from Trae Young. 13 points, 10 assists is fine. Obviously, the passing was good. I mentioned before briefly that Pierce said he had a quote, great floor game, end quote. And I agree with that. I think Young was very good offensively in this game. He was pretty understated, wasn't terribly aggressive with his jump shot, which is fine. He doesn't have to do that. You know, his shooting can be valuable when it's out there, but I think his passing was good. He played very solidly offensively. Defensively, you know, it's bad. It's not anything breaking ground there. The Nets definitely targeted him quite a bit in this spot. There wasn't really much he could do to hide himself there, but I will say he was the best plus-minus of anybody in the starting lineup. I wasn't necessarily because of him, necessarily, but I thought Young was pretty good, honestly, in this game. He was really bad on Friday, but he was pretty good here. So a nice positive game, I would say, overall for Trae Young, despite the fact that the team did not win this game, obviously, or really compete in this game. I thought Young, in the grand scheme, was pretty good here. Kent Bazemore, nice game, 20 points, 7 assists, and 3 steals, 3 rebounds for Bazemore, 6 of 13 from the floor, I should say, 3 of 6 from 3, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. A very efficient, quality offensive game from Bazemore. Defensively, probably wasn't as good as his normal self. I didn't think it was a couple of moments where I really noticed him not being locked in defensively. Wasn't like he was the reason that they were bad defensively. He's usually one of their better defenders, but wasn't a great game for him defensively. But offensively, 20 points on 13 shots is as good as you can ask for. I thought he played pretty well offensively, and it's good to see him play well again here. John Collins, 29 points in 34 minutes, 8 rebounds. He was very close to his career high here. Kind of amusingly, this kind of tells you a little bit about the plus-minus stuff for single game. He was minus 28. He was the worst plus-minus guy on the roster, despite leading the team in scoring by a lot with 29 points. Defensively, Collins was not good in this game. There are often times when he's not a good defender sometimes. I think he's, again, much better than I thought he was going to be at this point in his career. But there are games when he is not going to be good defensively. This is one of those games. Again, I'm not singling him out by any means. There were very, very few guys. I mean, you heard me say a minute ago that Bazemore even was someone I thought did not play well defensively in this game. Collins was not good defensively, but offensively, he's carrying a big load for this team. He's sort of the primary guy a lot of the time offensively right now, and that's going well in that way. He's playing very well offensively. 29 points to speak for itself on 19 shots. That's good. But, you know, pluses and minuses, but it was a pretty good game for John Collins. Obviously, you can't really complain too much about 29 points and eight rebounds. So we'll kind of leave that there. And last but not least, by any means, is Dwayne Dedmon had probably the best offensive game of his Hawks career here. It was definitely his career high in scoring and three-pointers. He had 24 points and 8 of 12 from the floor and 5 of 5 from 3. 5 of 5 from Dwayne Dedmon. Granted, that most of them were open. I think 3 or 4 of those were wide open, but still, he made them all. 12 rebounds as well to go along with 3 assists. Dedmon was really good in this game offensively. I've been complaining about his offense this season with good reason. Coming into this game, he was shooting 24.5%. 24.5%. So, you know, for instance, obviously him and Trae Young are not really on the same plane in terms of their shooting, but he's been as bad as Young has been as a shooter. That's just to kind of speak to that a little bit. But he broke out of that in a big way in the first half, continued it after that. Dedmon played very well offensively. Defensively, similar to Collins, similar to Bazemore, guys who were capable of more defensively that didn't play very well defensively in this game. It's sort of a bad matchup for Dedmon in the same way that it is for Alex Len, in that Brooklyn plays small and athletic and they have a bunch of shooting. But still, Dedmon, awesome offensively. There's nothing I can really badly say about him in this game because he was obviously locked in and sort of just burying threes all night long. Good to see him break out there. I'm not sure still that last year's 36% or so was a real number from three, but even with this one game, he jumped a huge amount in three-point shooting. So still a pretty small sample from Dedmon, but I think he's been playing better in the recent past than he was for a while there when I thought he was really struggling. So good to see him have a nice game offensively. Again, you know, big picture, defensively, you cannot stress how bad the Hawks were in this game. A lot of that was Brooklyn making shots. They are very capable, and they run good offense. Kenny Atkinson should be praised for that. He's a very, very good offensive basketball coach, even dating back to his time in Atlanta when he was Bud's lead assistant. And even with a relative lack of talent, I would say, Brooklyn is a top 10 offense in the league right now on a per-possession basis. They are averaging, they are scoring, I should say, 110 points per 100 possessions. That is a very good number. So it's not like Brooklyn doesn't score on everybody, but obviously not quite to this degree, putting up 144 in 48 minutes, and they probably could have scored 150 if they had been trying all night long. So a lot to take in there. I know it was a bad night for the Hawks in most ways. Offensively, though, pretty encouraging. So if you want to be optimistic, you know, bank on Dwayne Dedmon, bank on John Collins, bank on Trae Young playing pretty well, and the offense being very good. If you want to be negative, the defense was sort of legendarily bad here. So I would say if you're a Hawks fan, you want to hope this is the low point for the defense this season. And we'll see what transpires again when they play on Tuesday against the Wizards at home. So, you know, three-game road trip, the Hawks lose all three, and they're now 6-23 on the season. Not terribly surprising there, obviously, because they were the underdog in all three games. Some more lopsided results than you want to see, though. So you want to see the Hawks come out and play well and play energetically and play with some fever and some force on Tuesday against the Wizards. It's a winnable game for Atlanta, so we'll see how they respond in that spot. I'm planning to have another podcast that I will record on Monday night to go into Tuesday morning. Hopefully that will be there in your feed, and then we'll, of course, wrap up Tuesday night's game on Wednesday morning. So with all that said, please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. Do all that fun stuff. We will see you guys tomorrow.